A very good afternoon to you. You're listening to The Property Show on Dubai Eye 103.8 with Desley Humphrey. Keep those text messages coming through, or you can contact me on my Twitter account, which is Desley Humphrey. Joining me, as always, Ludmila Yamalova, Managing Partner of HPL Yamalova and Plefka Legal Consultants, and Mike Small, Partner at VSM Consulting. You've returned back from the UK.
I have.
And why don't we focus a little on some local headlines making news?
Yeah, there were quite a few interesting ones in the National during this week, which is the paper I tend to look seriously at, and also in the FT, and some of them actually overlap the National report, some of the FT stories. One of those was the UAE investment banking undergoes shake-up by Simeon Kerr. Very good writer, Simeon, writes in the FT a lot. Good story, and it talks about what we talked about earlier, actually, is there is a cull going on amongst the sort of small brokers, small banks here, who haven't been able to sustain their business model through what has been a very quiet period for new issues and debt issues and almost anything in investment banking. So there are going to be jobs lost. Some of the big banks will come in and set up new departments, which will take some of those jobs, but I think net-net we'll see jobs going. Mm-hmm. There's another story, Dubai Group to sell the New York landmark Essex House. Probably a good time to sell, actually, because if I'm right, and we'll come on to some other stories that tend to make me think I am right, then we're going to see another property downturn in the West, and so therefore to actually sell a very, very sought-after hotel into a market that's looking quite buoyant at the moment makes a lot of sense to me.
So where is that? That's in Central Park.
That is, Central Park South, I believe it is. It's a beautiful property.
I actually sort of personally feel quite saddened.
Do you? Oh, really? Do you know Essex House?
Yeah, and I've stayed there a few times, and every time I go to New York, I was...
Well, I think Jumeirah's trying to hold on to the management contract, and I hope they do, because they've done a very good job with it. But it's beautiful. I mean, that is a lovely area.
But, I mean, they bought it at a peak time, I think.
There's another peak now, though, and it is in demand at the moment. Hotel properties, and again, New York is the number two, I think, in the world at the moment for hotel properties. So it's not... probably makes sense. What else have we got? We've got a merger between Aldar and Saru. I haven't really followed it as such, but it seems like, again, a rationalisation. And again, that means jobs losses, because obviously you've got two corporate head offices, etc. You've got an overlap, and you'll probably see a few jobs go there. What else have we got? We've got here, and this is interesting, the National now is picking up a story that we talked about on here 6 months ago about the China and the property collapse in China. And I've kept on about this, and I've been attacked so many times by people who said it won't happen, it won't happen. Of course it will happen. You don't get a property boom without a property bust. It's just a certainty. And not only is it a certainty, it's now beginning to look like something one of my favourite hedge fund managers told me a long time ago, when he said, China is 1,000 Dubais. Really, it's 100, because it has 100 cities of over 1 million people. And so you'd say it's 100 similar cities to Dubai, with a lot of municipality involvement, a lot of land sales, which were creating money to develop the cities, which, of course, had to stop at some point because people couldn't afford to live in the properties that they built. And that's what's happening all across China. So you're seeing now a massive slowdown in development, a massive problem in the banks in terms of developers who can't finish the developments, a massive shortage of end users because no one can afford the properties. So you're going to see a complete and utter collapse, is too strong a word, an absolute sort of slowdown in all the value that was created, and a lot of that value will disappear, and people who've invested a lot of money will lose a lot of money. And it depends on who that is, whether it's rich individuals, fine, they can take it. Small individuals, they're going to be shocked for life. Developers, well, they're going to struggle and they're going to go bust. Banks, well, they're going to go bust, but they're going to get bailed out, because they do. And the government, has it got enough money to bail all these banks out? It's got a lot of money, but you know what? It hasn't got enough money to bail all those banks out. So it's going to be very interesting, and we won't hear the full story because it's China. So we're not going to get the truth. We're just going to get snippets come out every so often. But it is fundamentally a massive change for the world, because that's been driving, and from your part of the world, Desley, that's been driving all the commodity takeoff from Australia in terms of steel, iron ore, bauxite, etc. Massive copper. All these inflated commodities have all been due to the massive building programs that have been going on in China and other centres, where now it's obviously going to slacken off.
Mm. But their growth is still around the 8-9% as far as
No, it's not. No, it's now. It was meant to be 10. It's now forecast to be 7.5.
Right.
It will be 7.5, but. Mm. On the ground, it'll probably be 4 or 5, but it will officially be 7.5 because that's what they've said.
Mm-hmm.
Unofficially, it'll be a lot less than that. The problem is that 50% of their investment in the past has been into infrastructure and building. You cannot sustain that. You just cannot sustain it because at some point that building and infrastructure has to pay the debt that you've created to create it. And that's what the West didn't learn, and China has learned, but probably a bit too late to really stop it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also going through a problem in that a lot of its exports have dried up to Europe particularly. So it's faced with two dilemmas. It's losing its exports and it can't invest so much internally anymore. So it's got two knocks to its economy at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be very nasty for China, which means that there could be all sorts of effects, because they could actually now start to weaken their currency, which they've been strengthening under American pressure. And if they weaken it in American election year, that can get the Americans on the election campaign going crazy about it, and it will become an issue, and therefore you'll end up with trade spats and all sorts of things. So, again, you know my job. My job is to warn people of risks that are coming. Hence, we told you about China 6-9 months ago, and now it's arriving.
So what does that mean then for its neighbour, Hong Kong? Are there any concerns there?
Yeah, there are. There are. There's a massive concern in Hong Kong. There's an election going on today, actually, the day of the Hong Kong Sevens as well. So a lot of mixed protests going on in the streets today. There's protests and there's Seveners, and it's quite a mixed bag all out on the streets. A lot of protest because there's massive, massive inequality in Hong Kong now. It's got the second worst inequality in the world, which means basically you've got people who can't buy a property, but who live there and have good middle-income jobs and cannot buy a property. There's a tremendous article on that, exactly that subject, in the FT this week. Anyone wants it, give me a shout and I'll get you some details. But it's a tremendous article because it is so important, because it also affects everything I've said about the West. In UK, in Spain, in America, we are going through a recognition of a massive inequality that we have created across the economy, which is totally unsustainable. You cannot have the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer and the middle class paying for everyone. You can't have it. It doesn't work. So it will create massive fault lines, which will turn into massive problems.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Europe and Spain, what is the latest there in Spain?
Oh, dear. Now you're getting me going, aren't you?
Yeah, headlines on that.
Leave me into Spain. Spain is just collapsing, and people who don't understand, I'm sorry, especially, you know, the Spanish politicians, they understand it. They just can't admit it. It's a mess. And they're looking at
a bigger mess than Greece.
No, it's not a bigger mess than Greece, mm-hmm. because Spain has actually got a fundamental economy, whereas you could argue that Greece hasn't. But there are, I mean, Spain now has got 20% unemployment across the market. It's got 50% unemployment in the 16 to 24-year-olds. It's got massive drugs problems that no one even talks about. And the poorer these people get and the least jobs they've got, the more you get those sort of problems. So crime goes up, so cost of running that goes up, etc. So you do end up in a really serious situation, and the Spanish now are beginning to understand that all the debt that's accumulated in their provinces and their municipalities is a debt. It's not something you just forget because it's not on the government ledger. It's a debt. And all these provinces, who are actually responsible for education and health services within their regions, are not paying any of their bills. So that's how they're addressing the debt problem. We're not going to pay any bills. Well, that doesn't work for long, because eventually the drugs company stops supplying you. So I can't tell you how bad Spain is. I can't. And I can't tell you what that means, because obviously that brings you back to a European debt crisis. And everyone has said from the beginning, we can't manage Spain. If Spain goes, we go. So again, I just counsel people to understand that the risk out there, not saying it'll definitely happen, but the risk out there is enormous. And if you buy into this sort of equity rally that's going on at the moment, fine. You can trade it, you can make money. But just be aware that these risks are brewing. And this week just saw the beginning of everyone start to talk about China growing much more slowly, Spain in problems, Ireland back into recession, the poster boy that everyone said, oh, haven't they done wonderfully? They're back into recession. No good news came out of Germany and France this week. The PMIs were very low. They're in recession as well. So the European crisis has not gone away. It's temporarily lulled while they printed a trillion, gave it to the Spanish-Italian banks and said, go and buy the bonds and that way we'll pull the bond rates down. Well, now the bond rates are going back up again. So the trillion's gone and now they're going back up. So again, crisis not over. Sorry.
You're listening to The Property Show on Dubai Eye 103.8. We will take a quick break, but we'll be back with plenty more. Mike is going to give us some more updates on some local macro and micro issues.
And some UK buy-to-let news that came out this week, yeah.